go. You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be fallen from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace
and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, friends, what can we say about 2020? Well, for one thing, maybe you've noticed that sometimes out of misery comes humor. A cartoon, a man conducting a job interview saying, there's a gap in your resume. What are you doing in 2020? And the guy answered, I was washing my hands. Or the grumpy-looking woman who says, I'm not adding this year to my age. I didn't use it. On the other hand, it has been a year filled with misery and anxiety. Over 60 million COVID cases worldwide. Nearly 1.5 million deaths. Both numbers growing at an alarming rate. Maybe you saw in the paper, as did I, that in Johnson County, the first 100 COVID cases took 7 months until we reached that number. The second 100 took 3 weeks. Overstressed healthcare workers,
anxiety over whether or when a vaccine will be ready, and when we individually will qualify to get it. In our country, political tensions, perhaps as high as they have ever been. And confusion over what to believe, who to trust. Friends, this is our particular version of the world Jesus was talking about. World the author of Mark's gospel knew too well. We don't know with absolute certainty when the gospel of Mark was written. Some say it was written, and I think the majority opinion is after AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, but possibly just before. But even then it would have been with a huge shadow of the destruction, the crushing of rebellion being certain. A violent time. Land and city were ravished. Hundreds of thousands, at least, killed by the remorseless Roman army. So then and now, two snapshots of troubled time. Then the violence of war, now the silent grief of pandemic. In between have been many other kinds of times, times of difficulty and times of joy and relative peace. Times of laughter and families together, and we all missed that especially this Thanksgiving. We've had times of the congregation being together at the Lord's table. We've had times of sharing food and festivals at the church. But somewhere in the midst of all of it, even in the good times, there's an awareness that our lives are not entirely fulfilled. The age of peace and justice has not dawned. That, as St. Paul writes, the whole creation continues to groan as we wait for the fulfillment. And that, friends, that is Advent. Advent is, in some sense, the season of always. We are always there. That first reading that you heard tells of frustration at God's absence. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. The scriptures that they knew told of God acting directly and dramatically in the time of Abraham and Moses, the time of Elijah and the prophets. As Isaiah tells it, the people are saying, you did it for them. Why can't you do it for us? They even try a dodge that you may have tried when you were a child, or that your kids may have tried with you. If you had been home on time, we wouldn't have gotten into trouble. That's basically Israel's argument, isn't it? Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. More or less the Advent dilemma. Where is God? In that reading, the people are frustrated by God's absence, God's inaction. And yet even then, they affirm the relationship. We are the clay. You are our potter. Throughout the Bible, friends, we have repeated promises that God is with us, God will be with us, God never leaves us, and yet we believe that, we trust it. We trust it's true, and very often we find in those promises strength and comfort and hope. But on the other hand, here we are again. It is Advent again. Even though we know Christmas is coming, Advent is not about Christmas. It's a time for us to notice, lament the imperfections in us and in our world, to notice and lament the absence of God and to anticipate the promised coming of God. But anticipation is not the same as being there. Like jumping ahead to Christmas and overlooking the preparation. I've always been one that says preparation is a good thing. Anticipation is a good thing. Marlis and I have had the opportunity to do quite a lot of traveling. And though we both love the planning and the looking forward, I'm the one who digs into the details. Time and distance, cost and lodging, plane and train schedule, car rental and driving time, and what I can learn about the places we'll go and the things we will see. I recall one time when I did all of that nuts and bolts planning, I wound up making the necessary reservations, but I gave less than usual attention to getting myself ready to anticipate what we were going to see, and wound up with a great trip that could have been even a little better. But it's hard for us to give Advent the time and attention it deserves. You see, the seasons of the church don't fit very well with the commercial seasons of the world around us. When I was a seminary student, my part-time job was at Hartig's Rexall drugstore in Dubuque, Iowa. As you might expect, immediately after Thanksgiving, the sound system started playing Christmas music. By the middle of December, a co-worker we called Murph was sick of it. And so over and over, out of the hearing of customers, he was fond of quoting Ebenezer Scrooge, "Bah! Humbug." And it's only gotten worse. You know, now the Christmas season starts about Halloween. And when you drive the streets 2 days after Christmas, you'll see sad Christmas trees lying at the curb, ready to be picked up. But this is a season to reflect, to contemplate, to prepare. In a variety of situations, we do get reflective. We ponder, we wonder what's ahead. We wonder if we're ready. That may be starting a new job. It may be preparing for finals. It may be getting married. Preparing for the birth of a child. Am I ready for this? Have I done what I could and should have done to prepare? Or have you been so busy planning the wedding that you failed to give enough thought to the marriage? Have you been so focused on Christmas that you gave little thought to everything meant by that phrase, God with us? What does God with us? What does that mean, friends, for the way we do business? God with us, what does that mean for family life? For issues of gender or race or class or income inequality? God with us, what does that say about how we treat the planet? or how we deal with the COVID pandemic. We are always living in Advent. We are always waiting. As we know the story, we know that we're coming to Christmas, but that's not the whole of our waiting. We are waiting for justice. We are waiting for peace. We are waiting for an end to hostilities between and within nations, including our own. We are waiting for relief from sickness and not only coronavirus. We are waiting for the poor to not only hear but to experience good news in their lives. The gospel reading brings the promise of the culmination of history, signs and warnings. But there are two kinds. Some, as in this Sunday's text, lack any details. There are no details we can latch onto or figure out. Others, including earlier parts of the same chapter, are specific, but specifics that apply in every generation. When have there not been wars and rumors of wars, people terrified by disasters, either natural or human-caused? And just in case we missed it, Jesus says, no one knows anything about the timing or the final crisis. Keep alert. Keep awake. Words that are always relevant. Always it is Advent. But it is for our good, friends. It is for our good. The gospel reading begins with after that suffering. The heart of the message is the good news that times of suffering will end. God has not, does not, will not forget or abandon his creation and people. The Advent message is often thought of as scary. But that's wrong. Wars and rumors of wars are scary. COVID is scary. Some of the effects of climate change are scary. Huge forest fires are scary. But the promises of God are the antidote to fear. Of course we are expected to be responsible stewards of planet and neighbors and the peace of the world entrusted to us. Of course repentance and change of behavior are appropriate. But the message is that always and in all of it, God is for us. God created us, cares for us and all that God has made. God has acted in time past, and it is our hope and expectation that when history reaches its end, whatever and whenever that is, that God will win. God's good and gracious will prevail, and our faith and hopes will be fulfilled. And our prayer is that of St. Paul, that we may be found blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. May that be so. Amen.